We have two scriptures today. First, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. I'll read 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 35 to 39. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in college, my very first job was at the child care center for the college that was serviced college staff and employees. I worked at the daycare. My job? Simple. Bring a class of 12 3- and 4-year-olds in from the playground and get them to do 5 things. Wash their hands, eat their lunch, go to the bathroom, wash their hands, take a nap. And it had to be in that order, too. No small task. One brief side note. It turned out I was so good at getting the kids to go to sleep, the director actually, at our first all-staff conference, wanted me to explain how I did it. And honest to God, I just simply said, I just start talking and people go to sleep. True story. My daily job was to get them to do 5 things. Wash their hands, eat their lunch, go to the bathroom, wash their hands, take a nap. First day on the job, I had successfully gotten them all the way to the lunch table. They knew the routine. Really, I was the one unfamiliar with the routine. They knew it. They were already sitting there quietly. So I said, "Go ahead, just dig in." Then one of the 3-year-old girls, who I later found out was the boss of the group, yelled as only a 3-year-old can yell. "What? You forgot to pray," she says, wagging her finger at me. "Okay, let us pray." And I bow my head and I close my eyes and my arms are at my side and I start praying, and once again, the same little girl, "Wait! What is it now?" Wagging her finger again, "You're doing it wrong." "What? I'm doing it wrong?" I thought to myself. And see, I was a religion major, and I'm thinking this 3-year-old little girl is telling me, I'm doing it wrong. And I wasn't just a religion major. I was the top graduate in the religion department. Thank you very much. I was the only graduate that year, but I was top one. Right? here I have this little girl in a syrupy sweet voice.
You're doing it wrong.
And she said, you have to do it this way. And she neatly folded her hands. And in a voice that you'd probably only hear in a horror movie, she said, now we can pray. I don't think God is so concerned with what we're doing with our hands as God is concerned with what we're doing in our hearts, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're doing. But that's a story for another day. Now, if someone were to ask me, what's the five most dangerous activities in which I engage regularly? I don't know about you, but prayer would not make the top five dangerous list for me. I mean, I think it's good for people to do, but dangerous? I can think of more dangerous things that I do on a daily basis than pray. Now, if I was to compose my list of five most dangerous activities in my life, driving a vehicle would probably be the number one. Have you seen people out there? Huh? Yeah. We have a family friend who is a commercial pilot, and I once asked him about the dangers of flying the plane, and he said, oh, the plane is safe. It's driving to the airport. That's the scary thing for me. So driving would be the number one dangerous thing I do. Then it would be trimming palm trees with an electric chainsaw while standing on a metal ladder in a rainstorm. That would be number two. Number three would be filling out taxes. Having a family gathering at my house, Lord help me, would be number four. And number five most dangerous thing would be answering in any way, shape, or form when I'm asked the question, does this make me look fat? Yeah. Answering that's dangerous, right? Prayer. Dangerous? Come on. I doubt it'd even make the list. Now, it's an important activity. It's a critical activity. But dangerous? Somehow, that's not the first word that comes to mind in relation to prayer. Oprah once asked people to keep a gratitude journal. Some book she had read had given her the idea. Each evening, she encouraged people to write down five things they were grateful for that day. Many said it changed their lives. It changed their perspectives. Five things. I think Christians are called to be healers in a broken world. In many respects, that's what this text is all about, bringing healing to the broken. So in order to be able to do that, I'm going to challenge all of us to pray for five things each night. Five things I want you to pray for. Give each one 1 minute, 5 minutes total. I can hear you already, some of you saying, oh, I don't have 5 minutes in my day. Well, I'm going to give you 5 minutes today. I'm going to give you 5 minutes in your day. I've cut the normal length of my sermon today by 5 minutes. Don't get used to it. But you're going to get five today. In all seriousness, I'm going to try to do this next part in 5 minutes flat, too. Let's see. One, pray for your church. Pray for me. Pray for Pastor Jim and Debbie. Pray for the leaders, Judy, Jeff, Judy, Bertie, and Margaret. Pray for those who come but aren't really committed. Pray for those who are hurting and have been broken. Pray that they find wholeness and the extravagant welcome they need and deserve. Being the church these days is a lot like being on that yellow brick road. You got to have heart. You got to use your brain. And you got to muster up some courage. Heart, brain, courage. Miss out on any three of those and we're going to fail. Pray your church family has all three. Pray for your church. Two, pray for the world. Pray for peace between Israel and Palestine, amongst the people and nation and nation. Pray for peace in countries like the Philippines and South Sudan and North Korea and Colombia and the United States. Pray for people living in areas that go without basic needs in the world. Pray for people to celebrate diversity. Pray and thank God that everyone isn't just like you and me. Pray for world leaders that they cooperate in healthy dialogue, work together for the common good rather than posture for war. Pray for the world. Number three, pray for this community, that the people living right here, that live and work right here, so that they might have food, shelter, medical care, employment, education, and justice that they deserve. Pray that the various leaders from different agencies within this community can come together for the benefit of all. Pray for city, county, state leaders to have wisdom and place the needs of people before their own personal or political agendas. Pray that we might all see our need for one another. Pray for this community. Four, pray for your family and friends. There are just so many people who are hurting, and we come in contact with every day. Coworkers, neighbors, strangers. People are more stressed out now than I've ever seen. Don't judge, but lift others up in prayer. Pray for healing so that God might be a healing agent in their lives, bringing comfort, a listening, caring ear, and that we might be God's presence in people's lives. Pray for forgiveness and wholeness where there is brokenness in people. Pray for your family and friends. Number five, pray for yourself. Pray for daily strength. Pray for patience in all circumstances. Pray for insight. Pray for guidance in tough decisions. And where there is brokenness in your life, pray for healing. Pray for God's wholeness, God's forgiveness. Pray that you don't take yourself so seriously, but that you take seriously helping other people. Pray recognizing you may not be able to change the situation or the person for which you pray, but that prayer does change us. I got to tell you that real prayer is dangerous. It's dangerous for us, for you, for me, because in prayer we come face to face not only with God, but with our temptations within. Maybe that's why Henry Nouwen describes the experience of solitude in prayer not as some therapeutic quiet time where his muscles are massaged, his soul is lifted up, but he calls it a time of, quote, entering into a furnace of transformation that is filled with struggles. Furnace of transformation. Those are his words about prayer, and I like that description. Consequently, we need to approach prayer not in some naive expectation that it's going to be easy and serene. Prayer time is dangerous because we've got to be real. And society, the society we built, has taught us to be fake. But in prayer, we have to be real. I've got to be me. Gray hair, wrinkles, propensity for bad puns, my weaknesses, my faults, my flaws. And you've got to be you. And all that makes you, you. Prayer should be as critical and as functional as the steering wheel on the car, writes Larry Davies. Yet for most of us, prayer is actually more like a spare tire, seldom used except when something goes flat. So, I double dog dare you. That's what we used to say in the South when I was in Kentucky. I double dog dare you. Live a dangerous life this week and beyond. Pray. Find a place of solitude and dare to pray. Come up with five things every night, every day, every morning, whenever you pray. Give me five. Give God five. Give yourself 5 minutes a day and pray. If you do, I believe you just might find the source of strength that you're seeking. And you might be surprised by all the healing God can do. Thanks be to God. Amen.